The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. From the Department of Philosophy, Professor Beth Oljar.
Good to be here.
Good to be here, too. I am. To be here with you.
Thank you, Yoda.
The heat is getting to me. The heat is getting to my syntax.
Sound that good at 900? I will not.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I always like to find, I mean, I have three little boys at home. One of them's an infant, but when they like, do people really talk like that? And I want to talk like that from now on. I'm like, you know, knock yourself out, kid. I don't care. You know? Yoda's cool. He's cool. Master Yoda, that's what they call him.
Well, we have a little Yoda, and he sits on the edge of the TV, so he's the TV guardian. Yeah, Dan knows.
That's good. That's good. That would be Professor Dan Maggio of the First Organization. How are things?
Glad to be here. I am. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm doing great. Thanks, Matt.
Just speaking Wookiee, okay?
How about you, Professor Jim Tubbs?
Why would a Wookiee live on it?
Oh, I'm just feeling spectacularly unrehearsed today.
I know. It's like over the top.
It's going around.
Are you peachy with a side of cane, James?
What?
What? What was that phrase?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Wow. And Jeff is the only person who...
I don't remember that one.
Buffy, one of her answers, you know?
Okay.
She was asked how she was, and I'm peachy with a side of keen.
Sounds fresh.
Speaking of befuddlement, poor Professor Dave Chow of the College for Creative Studies.
It was a pleasure to be here. I'm not sure what's hitting me anymore. I'm like, I'm dumbfounded, so...
It's okay. Continuing in a clockwise fashion, Professor Diane Manica from Education, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, ticking away.
Yeah, very good, very good. That phrase I understand.
Educators, what can I say?
Ticking away? It sounds like uranium.
Take it for what it's worth. Okay.
So how about you from the Department of Mathematics and many other things, Professor Jeff Boats?
I am feeling less radioactive than this crowd.
Good, good. How's Calc 1 going? I have a lot of advisees in your class.
Oh, is that the problem? I was wondering. No, they're doing fine. We haven't had a test yet, but I think they're doing fine.
Okay, good, good. I always love it. The students are very sweet. I don't mean to make this sound snarky, but they come to me 15 minutes after a class ends. This has nothing to do with you, by the way. Jeff, I don't think that's going to work out. I'm like, you know, you might want to give it more than just the first Tuesday of classes to see if it sits in. You know, let's stay there a little longer.
I had to get up and leave about 40 minutes into class this week because they realized they were in the wrong room.
Oh, why that
see?
Long?
See,
I had that happen today.
They were probably talking on their cell phone the first 39.
I had that happen today in my noon intro flight, because there actually had been a room change, right? So the student's schedule said CNF 138, but she was supposed to be in English 1300. So I'm doing this whole lecture, right, on what would life be like without philosophy? Well, it would be terrible. And let me explain, you know, none of your classes would actually exist, and there wouldn't be, you know. So I'm doing this whole lecture, and she's like,
what am I doing here?
I'm here for the macrame class. What's going on?
I want to take the orange eating class. Another good Simpsons.
I'm just picturing your students thinking, without philosophy, there'd be no homework
and no fortune cookies.
I know, because I actually have them go, you know, you wouldn't have calculus, right? You wouldn't have biology. You wouldn't have chemistry. You wouldn't have, you know, literary criticism.
You wouldn't have worrying about it either.
I know. So I always say, don't you wish this would really be true and all of your classes would go away?
Would there be any truth without philosophy?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Can you give us a whole other lecture?
Can you give us a short explanation why there would be no biology?
Because, as a matter of fact, the first scientists were philosophers. In fact, at the beginning, I mean, people like Galileo, Copernicus, and Newton and Boyle were called natural philosophers.
Because they questioned the world around us. Okay, I get that. Thank you.
Very good. So I can only
just try to get some of my brain back. Thanks.
With all these things going on, Professor Chuck Hockett from Information Technology Services, what's the first week like for you?
Well, you guys are talking about students. I had a student come into my office. She came looking around. She thought 16 was the classroom. She sat down, started looking around. She said, can I help you?
Kind of a small classroom.
Yeah, I have a small classroom.
That would be a very small classroom.
Clearly, that is not a class.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah. I guess so, if it were a directed study.
Yeah, I'm looking at her. Can I help you?
Chuck has a very interesting office, our listeners. And he shares it with a few other people. So
yeah, I do.
Class in there? Probably not so much. Not so much. Well, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our awesome prizes. If you don't stump the panel, you may win an even awesomer prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166. You can send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038.
Awesomer. Rhymes with gossamer. And yeah. Philosomer.
And philosomer. That's true. You know, we had just left off with a couple more questions from Frank Burrows of Valencia, California. What's the most popular official state insect with 17 states having it? It was the honeybee, Professor Jim Tubbs.
You're not going to make us.
I think in all 17 in reality, it's probably the cockroach.
or the mosquito.
It's not the mayfly.
It made sense to me that it would be Utah because the symbol of Utah is the beehive.
Should be the gadfly, actually.
The gadfly.
Gadfly.
Socrates describes himself as a gadfly.
That's right. That's right. I thought you were talking about
Athens is a great fat lazy horse.
Who's the most famous gadfly of all? Why come I can't think of it?
Socrates?
No.
George Clinton.
Fitzgerald. F. Scott Fitzgerald. Oh. What's the Great Gatsby?
Oh.
Whatever. All right. What country has the highest legal drinking age?
U.S.
That's true. It's the United States.
Except for places 21. Where it's not allowed, like the Middle East, some places.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Name the first four first ladies that visited Sesame Street.
Nancy Reagan.
Incorrect. She never went to Sesame Street.
Rosalind Carter.
Ford.
Betty Ford.
Wait, nope.
Hillary.
Hillary was one of the first four. I can't tell you what order they're in.
Laura Bush.
Laura Bush.
Laura Bush was there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Barbara Bush.
Barbara Bush was there.
And Michelle Obama.
And Michelle Obama. You got it.
Oh, the last four. Recently.
Huh. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. The last four. What was the first corporation established on the land of North America?
Oh, the Plymouth, Plymouth Plantation?
No, I can tell you it's still around. 1636.
Would that be an early university?
It could possibly be.
Harvard.
Harvard U. Yes, 1636. Wowza. So we're going to live to see the 400th anniversary of a university in America. That's pretty crazy. What construction site was the first one to have hard hats used as a safety requirement?
Empire State Building?
Empire State Building?
No, that's a good guess, though. Similar
in New York?
Sort of era.
What? Brooklyn Bridge?
Wasn't in New York.
San Francisco?
No, it was out west. It was out west.
Oh. Hoover Dam.
Hoover Dam, yep. Hoover Dam. Well, thank you very much, Frank.
Not called the Hoover Dam yet.
We tore up your questions, but, you know,
they're awesome.
Sometimes. They're good really good questions.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. We got some questions here from Tom Stanton of New Baltimore, Michigan, and his son, Zach. They put together a nice little hodgepodge, some fun stuff. Of whom was Ty Cobb speaking in 1920 when he said, "He is a freak hitter who will not last very long. He's bound to go into a slump. Every player does. And when that happens, I do not believe he'll have sufficient versatility to bring himself back."
Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth. Good guess.
I was going to say himself. I had too many drinks. I can't bat anymore.
Who can I clean
today? Well, that would actually apply to both men, but okay.
Yeah,
exactly. Which state has the most high schools named in honor of Adlai Stevenson, the former presidential candidate?
Wisconsin? No, it's
Michigan?
It's Michigan.
Oh, really?
Well, though he was governor of Illinois, Tom writes, Stevenson has two high schools in Michigan and one in Illinois and New York.
Livonia, for one.
Livonia and Utica?
No, I don't know. Is it
Livonia,
I don't think so.
You know, I think we actually have an alum in the
is
room.
Is it in Sterling Heights?
Or maybe in the antechamber. Is that true, Michael? Michael Jason is a Adlai Stevenson grad.
Hey.
What do you know?
Hey.
Pretty cool. Who was the first writer to be awarded a Pulitzer Prize for film criticism?
Pauline
Kael.
Hint, if needed. Sounds like it's needed. He has his thumb insured.
Oh, Roger Ebert?
Roger Ebert. Oh. Mm-hmm. Yep. Pretty interesting. I wonder what he was writing about when he won the Pulitzer Prize. Like, what movie, you know?
Did he give a good, I wonder if it was good or bad.
Yeah, but was it like some sort of horrible, like, B-grade thing?
Right,
or was
right.
it, you know, like Schindler's List or something? I don't know.
Sisko was a philosophy major from Yale, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which
actor whose son would serve more than 20 years as general manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates starred in three baseball movies? If you need a clue, he was in 1932's Fireman Save My Child.
Huh? Well, what the?
Frankly, that sounds made up.
Where's Jason when we need him?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Hi, yeah. I'm Todd McClure. You might remember me.
From I know. Such shows as Save My
Child. The President's Neck is Missing. Whose son would serve more than 20 years as general manager of the Pirates? It's like, we're talking.
Whose son?
So we want the actor.
Yeah, we're actually talking about the dad.
Okay,
the
so 32. So actors of.
The 30s.
Would have been Barrymore?
Who's our expert in that? Can
Houston?
Coleman?
I think that we're going to take a hit on this one. It says Joe E. Brown.
Oh, no sir.
Oh, sir. Yeah. He no used idea. To play a lot of quirky, like, cowboy roles.
Who was that who drove off with Walter Matthau and Some Like It Hot at the very end? Who was that in the boat?
I think that was him. Okay. Yeah, they played the quirky
billionaire.
Speaking of baseball movies, which actor played the roles of Terrence Mann in Field of Dreams and Mr. Myrtle in Sandlot?
James Earl Jones.
Yep, Darth Vader himself.
You're from the 60s, aren't you?
Yes.
They're over.
He grabs the spray.
Isn't he from Michigan as well, James Earl
Jones? He went to U of M. Yeah. Okay. That much is true.
Because I remember there was one time back in like the early 90s, we were actually doing a commercial with him. A friend of mine had to go pick him up at the airport.
Wow.
And he wanted him, excuse me, Mr. Jones, can you come over and like do my voicemail?
I was just going to say that.
Can
I would give him
an answering machine.
Yeah, can you
that would cool be cool.
Awesome. He's actually from Chicago, and his speaking voice, you'll hear him very, very Chicago.
He's high pitched.
And he had a very bad stutter as a kid. I don't think he still does that.
That's right. Wow. Mm-hmm. Who's the architect best known for designing the glass pyramid at the Louvre?
I am Eero Saarinen.
I am Pei.
That's the one I know.
The only architect you know, really?
Or Steve Vogel. Okay.
Oh, okay. That's true. Will Whittig.
Corbusier.
One of the originators of breakbeat DJing, this man created the techniques of cutting, backspinning, and punch phrasing. Identify the hip-hop legend whose group was the Furious Five.
Grandmaster Flash.
All right. You got it. Playing the Chicago White Sox minor league system, Michael Jordan tried to transfer his fame from basketball to baseball. He never made it to the majors, but what fellow NBA Hall of Famer did have a brief career with the Sox?
Danny Ainge?
Uh-huh.
Danny Ainge.
He went to the Blue Jays.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
This is a really good trivia question. I didn't even notice the
answer.
Wait,
is it a teammate of Michael Jordan?
It wasn't a teammate of Michael Jordan. It was a fellow NBA Hall of Famer, but he actually was with the White Sox. And I don't think I'm going too far to say this would be a piece of trivia that every good Titan sports fan should know.
Dave DeBuscher.
Wow.
Yeah, that's fantastic. What a great piece of trivia, Tom.
What did he play?
I don't know. Something tall. Probably first base.
Now I'm going to go get a DeBuscher jersey for the White Sox. Who are the only two silent movies who've won the Academy Award for Best Picture?
Wings.
The Artist.
And The Artist. Well, the first and the most recent, right? Wow. Isn't that interesting? Or one of the first. Which seven states are named in honor of kings or queens of something?
Which seven states?
Carolina, North Carolina, and South Carolina.
Yep.
Virginia.
Virginia.
Mm-hmm. And therefore?
Georgia.
West Virginia.
West Virginia. Two more.
Maryland.
This one is named after a king of France.
Louisiana. Yeah,
there
of course.
Go. Very good. Which was the last state of the contiguous 48 that was admitted to the Union? That's another good piece of trivia. It was Arizona, absolutely. How'd you know that off the top of your head?
Oh, they're still behind.
Do they have their own time zone?
Still trying to make sure nobody else comes in.
Celebrated on the first and second days of Tishrei, I hope I don't say that wrong, what holiday marks the beginning of the Jewish New Year?
Rosh Hashanah.
Yep.
Literally, it's head of the year.
After growing up with his grandparents on the Kaw Reservation, who later became the first U.S. vice president of Native American ancestry? Clue. He was a longtime senator from Kansas who served as a Senate majority leader before becoming VP to Herbert Hoover. Oof. Well, I mean, there's not even a chance. It's so interesting. It's like, I know vice presidents from, my era, but, lost to the ages.
We need Roy.
Yeah. Any ideas? I was sure Jim was going into Zen mode there.
No.
Initials CC.
Calvin Coolidge.
No, Calvin wasn't. That was great, though. Same first name as
Charlie Chan,
dean of this college.
Charles.
The end.
Chicken Head.
It's Charles Curtis. I'm Curtis. Sorry, I've never heard of him before, sir.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Vice President
I like Charlie Chan better.
Which two men were awarded the Nobel Prize for their discovery of DNA structure?
Watson and Crick.
Mm-hmm. Watson and Crick.
And actually, they were copying the work of another woman who
Rosalind Franklin. Yes. Yes. The Dark Lady of DNA. That's right. What is the oldest surviving professional baseball park in America? Hint, Willie Mays played his home games there.
So not necessarily. Wait, is it the professional?
It is not necessarily majors.
Majors.
But it's professional.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we can get a general area. So where would Willie Mays have played his home games?
Atlanta. New York.
I was going to say Minnesota possibly, isn't it?
I'm sorry, Jim, I didn't catch
it. Atlanta?
No, it wasn't Atlanta.
Okay.
But that's you almost tricked me into thinking you said the right answer.
Hmm. It sounds like Atlanta.
Georgia?
Alabama. It was Rickwood Field in Birmingham, Alabama.
Whoa.
Though the minor league Barons left in 87, Rickwood, built in 1910, 2 years before Fenway, has hosted an annual classic. It's also where the Negro League Black Barons, featuring Mays, played their home games. Yeah. Mm. How interesting. So it would have been Tiger Stadium before Fenway. Yeah. If it still was standing, right?
Poor Jason's crying right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. Professor Roach working on his, you can check it out on the internet, folks, if you want to see the trailer for Professor Roach's documentary. Mm-hmm. After a career as an accountant, who recorded such albums as The Button Down Mind? Hint, he went on to star in two sitcoms that bore his name. Very famous comedian. Yeah, Bob Newhart.
Oh.
He was an accountant. That makes perfect sense.
It does make perfect sense.
Oh my gosh, that's
dry
awesome.
Dry wit.
With a sense of humor.
Totally deadpan. Yeah.
A Raisin in the Sun was the first Broadway play written by an African-American woman. Who is the author, Raisin in the Sun?
Hurston?
No. Initials L.H. First same name as the mom character from Back to the Future. You'll have to think about that for a second while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Indeed, that's right. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, in fact, the very chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Hey, pleasure to be here, as always.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you here.
George, are you saved?
What makes you think that's any of your business?
You're good.
Now, see?
I'm
telling you how pros
there
handle
it. It paralyzes all powers of retort.
It does.
Do it,
that's
George.
Right. Bang, that's
how to handle bad questions.
What a guy.
That's good.
And that voice you just heard, sitting to George's right, from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Directress, I guess that's the right word,
whoa,
isn't it?
Or,
well, the person who runs the Learning Center.
Top chick.
Yeah, top chick.
Top chick.
Yeah.
There we go.
Professor Kathy Bush.
Hello, Edwin.
Hello, Kathy.
Tough chick, too.
Yeah, well.
No, but, you know, there is a story that reminded me of that exchange with Kathy. That Dwight L. Moody was a big revivalist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bible College. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Late 19th century. And he did walk up to a person on the street and asked him if he was saved one time, and the man said, "It's none of your business." And he said, "Oh, yes, it is." And the man said to him, "You must be Dwight L. Moody."
That's good.
Oh, dear. That's wonderful.
We are back with some great questions from Tom and Zach Stanton of New Baltimore, Michigan. Also Tom Stanton of our Communication Studies Department. We left off with A Raisin in the Sun was the first Broadway play written by an African-American woman. Who was the author of Raisin in the Sun?
Is it Laura Hobson?
No. Not Laura. You're in the right wheelhouse, though. L.H.
L.H.
Any other ideas?
No.
This could be a tough one. The mom character's name, played as a young woman, was Lorraine in Back to the Future, and her last name was Hansberry? Lorraine Hansberry?
Oh, yeah.
So,
okay.
Yep, we're moving on. What were the Allies' code names for the five beaches of Normandy invaded on D-Day?
Ah,
Utah.
Sword, Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Omaha.
Omaha. Gold?
What was a very famous award-winning movie where the screenplay was written by Diablo Cody?
Juno.
There you go. When he retired in 1945, this home run hitter was second on the all-time list behind only Babe Ruth. Today, he ranks 17th. He started his career at age 17 with Connie Mack's Philadelphia A's. Initials J.F.
Hmm. I should know this. I don't.
J.F.
Joe, Jack, Jim,
Jeb.
Still not said yet. Sorry,
Jeb.
Joe Fidaggio.
Same first name as
Justin,
someone in the room.
Jose.
James.
So he's Jimmy. Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Fox.
Jimmy Fox.
You go by Jimmy.
Nice.
when I was a kid.
Not anymore.
I have a question about ethics. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, what's the biggest selling single since UK and US singles charts began in the 1950s? It came out in 1997, and it was sung by Elton John.
Oh, that's the
Candle in the Wind.
Candle in the Wind, yeah. For Princess Diana.
Candle in the Wind, 1997, tribute to Princess Diana. At 33 million in sales, it's actually second to White Christmas because it always sells more records every year, which was released in 1942. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an interesting twist there. Four U.S. presidents have been assassinated while in office, mm-hmm. but only two men have been convicted of killing a U.S. president. Who are they?
Guiteau and...
Charles Guiteau, who tried to shoot...
He did shoot Garfield.
Garfield, yep.
And Zolgos, who shot McKinley.
McKinley. Right.
Wow.
The hint was Booth and Oswald were never convicted, so that's
didn't live long enough.
That's right. The word genocide was first used in reference to the mass murder of what ethnic group?
Armenians.
Yep.
By the Turks.
Absolutely. From which poet did Steinbeck borrow the title of Mice and Men?
Is that Shakespeare?
Yates. Not Yates, not Shakespeare. He's largely regarded the natural
Robbie
poet
Burns.
Of Scotland.
Oh, Robbie. Best laid plans of mice and men gang after Gly.
Yep. Remember the name of the poem?
To a Mouse.
To a Mouse. Yes. That's right. T-O-O.
I prefer Ode to a Haggis myself.
Jamie Moyer is 49 and pitching this season, 2012, for the Colorado Rockies.
True.
Goody but he's him. 10 years younger than the oldest man ever to play in the majors. Who was that? That's incredible, by the way. I think that's awesome.
Methuselah Jones.
Nolan Ryan?
Not no. Nolan Ryan.
Who
no.
is?
What position did he play?
I want to say that he was a pitcher. Very, very famous pitcher.
So,
Cy Young?
Nope, he played with the Kansas City A's in 1965 for this very last game.
Gaylord Perry?
Nope.
No.
I hope I have the position right because I don't want to. Could have been from the Negro Leagues.
No idea.
Initials. Yeah, it was Satchel Paige. Yeah.
Satchel Paige.
He was a pitcher, right?
Yes.
Okay. Sure. Very good. What movie stars Arnold Schwarzenegger as Colonel John Matrix, whose daughter is kidnapped by a Central American warlord?
Commando.
That sounds like all of them, I know.
Which one? Not Predator.
Kindergarten Cop.
Your former governor.
Kindergarten Cop. Oh, that's awesome.
Predator's a good movie. Get to the job.
I know.
I like how when he leaves the governor's position, he goes back to making movies. Bad movies.
Did you also see that he's got a new vehicle?
No. What does that mean?
He just got a brand new, like this monstrous vehicle, larger than the Hummer, especially made by Mercedes-Benz, like $250,000.
You're kidding.
Really?
It's ginormously, disgustingly opulent, lush, big.
Mm.
Some people fall and then they just get right back up again. Well, how about some more questions? Thanks a lot,
sure.
Stanton boys. Dear profs, here's another mishmash of questions I've come up with to keep the professors on edge. Oh, my.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
They're culled from all sorts of sources, as well as my personal interests. Hopefully, they're worthy of making it on the show, and I gain a little bit more Ask the Professor fame and immortality.
We're granting immortality now?
Yeah.
Thanks again, Miss Witches. Frank Burroughs of Valencia, California.
Frank. He is immortal already.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. You always send us good questions, Frank, so we're always going to use them. Name the seven largest cities in the state of Pennsylvania.
Erie, Pittsburgh,
Philadelphia,
Scranton, Wilkes-Barre.
Not Wilkes-Barre.
Harrisburg.
Not Harrisburg.
Allentown.
Allentown, yes. I have Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Allentown, Erie, Scranton.
Johnstown.
Nope.
There's got to be one.
One that's associated with a railroad.
Bethlehem.
Reading. And?
Reading.
There you go. You got them all. I think they're in order, too, so... Philly, Pittsburgh, Allentown, Erie, Reading, Scranton, Bethlehem.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You get kind of wild in Erie, PA, don't you?
Yeah.
Wild.
I grew up in Erie.
I know.
Did you not know that?
That's right. No, I knew it. I was just feigning surprise for the show.
You were raised in Erie, or were you raised
I was
Erie.
Hatched Erie. Erie. Before carrying me to Detroit.
That's what happened here. It all froze off.
I found him under a rock, actually.
I was born and raised for 18 years. I would live there.
Which actress was married to Ernest Borgnine? He passed away earlier this year, didn't he?
Oh. Ethel Merman.
For exactly 32 days.
32 days.
Such a great story. What year? Huh?
54. No,
oh
that was.
Oh, my gosh. No, 64, but it's close enough. You know. You got three of the four digits. Who played Lieutenant Hurwitz in the movie Airplane?
Lieutenant Hurwitz.
And I love this, by the way. The question is phrased perfectly. Who played Lieutenant Hurwitz in the movie Airplane! ! Yes! The name of the movie was
Airplane!
That wasn't
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's character, was it?
Nope.
He was the lieutenant.
Yeah, he was the... But you're really close.
Sea Hunt guy.
Lloyd Bridges?
No.
Was it Robert Stack?
Lieutenant Hurwitz was played by Ethel Merman. It was her last film appearance.
They dragged her away screaming and singing.
Oh, and you don't want to... What is it? You don't want to even look at Hurwitz. He thinks he's Ethel Merman. So great. In what year was the Canadian $1 loonie coin introduced?
Hold it. It is... I believe it's 25 years ago. Because right now the Canadian Mint actually sent me a commemorative. So 25, back it up. So what would it be?
87 is correct.
Yep. Because they just commemorated the 25th.
They're sending you a commemorative coin.
Are you kidding? They're trying to make me buy it.
I've always been disappointed that they didn't call the $2 coin the doubloonie. You
know? What's wrong with the toonie?
Like a gold doubloonie, you know?
Oh, that would have been awesome. Yeah, I called dollars. What is it? My students are like, how much does the model kit cost, Professor Mayo? And I said something like 20 bones. And they were like, what did you
What's
just
a bone?
Say?
A bone.
Huh? I'm like, oh,
that well, nickels used to have bees on them. Five
That's
bees
a
for a quarter, they used to say.
Who is the only U.S. Supreme Court nominee to be rejected by the Senate? What a
Robert
great...
Bork.
Yeah, it was Bork. That beard, I think, it did him in, right?
Or the name.
No, what he thought did him in.
His theory of law.
It's all that Swedish cooking he tried to do.
Oh, my gosh. I remember vividly. I mean, that was from my youth, and David Letterman at a top 10. It was like, you know, why Bork got rejected or something like that. And number one was that the beard was too much of a babe magnet or something like that. I was like, that's
Yeah,
really
but
funny.
We got, who did we get instead of Bork?
Yeah, that's
a Souter?
Scalia. Right. I mean, that was jumping out of the frying pan into the fire.
Oh, yeah, my gosh. Kidding. What device was patented by English cabinet maker Joseph Bramah in 1778?
The handle?
Not the handle. Well, that's
the shell.
Reasonable.
The Bramah bowl. Oh,
you know what? This is actually a piece of plumbing, a very prominent piece of plumbing.
The toilet?
It's a part of a toilet, but it's a very important part of the toilet.
The seat.
The water?
It's the
the valve.
The tank flap that stops the tank from
the valve. Flapper.
Flapper.
Yes, I had to replace one of those
See?
In my house.
What great fun.
Yes.
No details, please.
Yeah. How long is winter on Uranus?
Forever,
Uranus.
Right? Because it's
so
far from the sun.
It is not forever. It's not forever. Oh. It's a very long time.
You're talking about
forever.
You're talking
100
about
years?
One half the complete rotational period, right?
Absolutely. You
what
don't
timing?
Ask for it any better
what
than
timing?
That, folks.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
How awesome are we? Seriously.
I'm going to give us a 9. Frank, I'm sorry. We're going to have
first
to
season.
Tackle the rest of these questions next time with your heroes. Professor Chuck Hockett.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Professor Jeff Boats.
Men are from Mars, and these profs are from Uranus.
Professor Diane Manica.
I just feel awesomer today.
Professor Dave Chow.
I need a mental suppository.
Professor Jim Tubbs.
Bye.
Professor Dan Maggio. Professor Beth Oljar.
All the sophistication you could ever want.
And now
on
these
radio.
Extremely sophisticated words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building and the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Let's go, Tigers!